Prunella Scales is Sarah France in After Henry by Simon Brett, with Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire. Mr. Wright.
Hello, Mother.
Oh, Sarah, dear. Is that the kettle I see over there?
Do I deduce that you are in need of a cup of tea?
Very much so, I'm afraid, Sarah.
Why, what's up?
I've just been to have tea with Ida Richardson.
And she hadn't got any?
No, there was plenty. But I need more for shock treatment.
Ah, you're about to tell me why.
Yes.
Thought so. Sit down. Take the weight off your melodrama.
Sarah. You're not going to believe this. Poor Ida. You know her granddaughter, Marion.
Well, even what you've told me about her. She's a paragon of most virtues, and her husband, Rodney the solicitor, mops up the ones she misses out on.
Well, Sarah, that's just it. Rodney has been found to be embezzling.
Oh, dear.
There's nothing funny about it, Sarah.
No, of course not.
I mean, he's going to go to court. He's bound to be unfrocked.
I don't think that that's what they do to lawyers.
Well, debriefed.
I don't actually think it's that either.
Well, whatever it is, that's what'll happen to him. And he's likely to go to prison. The stigma will be terrible. And Ida's the one who'll suffer most.
I would have thought Marion would suffer most, and her parents come to that.
No, no, Sarah, Ida's the one who'll suffer.
But no one can blame her. She's not responsible for what her granddaughter's husband does.
Sarah, you clearly have no conception of what it's like to be a grandparent. In that role, you're responsible for everything done by every member of the family.
Mother, you can only be held responsible for something over which you have control.
Yes.
Oh, so you're suggesting that you control everything that goes on in our family, are you? Everything that I do as well, no doubt.
Yes.
That is wonderful. So the sense I have of myself as a free agent is a complete illusion, is it? I have no independence. I am obedient only to the whims of the great puppet master, my mother.
Very nicely put, dear.
Iron is just wasted on you, isn't it?
The kettle's boiling, sir.
Yes. And may I ask whether or not your godlike control covers Claire as well?
Of course. I worry about her, you know.
Well, let me worry about her. I'm her mother. Worrying goes with the job. To have two of us doing it is overmanning.
Well, I'm afraid I do worry about Claire. About the things she does. The people she mixes with.
She's 18, Mother. She lives in her own flat. What she does is up to her.
Even so, I'm not sure that I like the idea of her going round with the crowd she does. I mean, that boy with the pink hair and the earring.
Yeah, he's quite harmless. Anyway, Claire's not going round with him. They're just
good friends. I've heard that line before, Sarah. And not always in the most salubrious of contexts. No, I think you ought to have a word with Claire.
Mother, the one thing that keeps my relationship with Claire vaguely civil is the fact that I have as few words of that sort with her as possible.
Well, I've never been happy about her seeing Gary. And I've heard this business about Ida's granddaughter's husband.
Needn't worry about the same thing happening with Gary. I don't think there's that much to embezzle down at the job centre.
Don't be frivolous, Sarah. I'm talking in general terms. I think Claire is over-secretive about her emotional life.
You mean she doesn't always tell you who she's going out with?
Yes.
Well, that's just because she has a very shrewd instinct for the preservation of her privacy.
Very well. Say what you like. Of course, she doesn't tell you who she's going out with for exactly the same reason.
Oh, I wouldn't say... No. Well, perhaps. Yes, maybe you're right.
I am.
I suppose so. Still, that's how our relationship works. Yes, the day Claire starts to tell me everything about some man she's seeing, I'll certainly know that it's serious.
Well, I wouldn't mind hearing a little more...
Hello, Mummy. Granny.
Claire, darling.
Mummy, what are we doing on Sunday?
Well, not a lot, I think.
Will it be all right if I invited someone to tea, then?
Tea? Yes, certainly. But Claire, you've got your own flat. There's no need for you to ask
me. No, I mean tea here. With you.
With me? Sunday tea. With me.
And Granny. Are you free, then?
Certainly, dear.
But can I ask who?
His name's David.
Oh. Is it?
Oh, no! Sorry, Russell.
Oh, well, not to worry. We'll just go through the catalogue and take out all the V's from where it says VG condition.
Oh, no, are they ruined?
They're fine.
Oh, so sorry.
Sarah, am I being fanciful to detect signs of nervousness in your behaviour?
Nervousness? What, me?
Yes, yes, you. I mean, that's the third pile of books you've dropped today.
Oh.
Fourth now. I mean, you have also included a £10 note in one customer's change from a fiver and directed a lady looking for a prayer book to the Victorian erotica section.
Yes, I'm sorry, Russell. A bit tired.
Nonsense. It's nerves. I've never seen a clearer case.
Well.
And I know what you're nervous about. Tea party tomorrow, eh?
Oh, I wouldn't say
that. Right. Well, I think you presenting your boyfriend, not Claire. And for heaven's sake, I mean, you don't have to worry. You're not the one being assessed, you're doing the assessing.
Yes, I suppose so.
Now, the young man, David, or whatever his name is, he has every right to feel twitchy. So is Claire. No doubt she's hopping about like a cat on hot bricks, eh?
No, she isn't. That's what's so unnerving. She just floats around with a distant, gooey expression and soppy little half-smile playing about her lips.
Nothing wrong with being in love, is there?
I suppose not.
Oh, come on. Now, you can't complain she's being secretive about it this time. Inviting him to Sunday tea is just like something out of Jane Austen. I mean, you can't be more correct and proper than that.
No, that's one of the things that worries me.
Why?
Well, we never eat Sunday tea. We have a large lunch and a snack in the evening. Sunday tea is just not a meal that happens in our family.
Well, surely you're not nervous about the catering. I believe traditionally all you have to do is make a pot of tea, maybe prepare a few sandwiches, bun or two, odd cake.
I can cope with that. Anyway, Mother's doing it all. Tea is her meal. She's longing to demonstrate her talent for making Viennese slices and brandy snaps and coconut kisses. In her element, she is. No, I'm worried because... I suppose because Claire's obviously so serious about it.
Well, she's been serious about other men.
Yes, a few, but with them she's always been desperately secretive. Wouldn't even let me know their names. And though that is, in its way, unnerving...
It went on enough about it at the time.
Well, still not as unnerving as this is. This time she must be so serious. To want to parade him to me is bad enough, but to invite her grandmother along... Well, it goes against everything Claire has ever done in her life. She's behaving like a model daughter and granddaughter.
Isn't that what you've been wanting her to do for years?
I suppose so. Now it's happening, I feel awful.
What makes you feel so awful? Go on, tell me.
I suppose it's just the terror that when I meet David, I'm not going to be able to stand him.
Well, you haven't been that keen about some of her other swains.
Well, it doesn't matter. Claire didn't want me to be keen on them. In fact, she took considerable care to keep us apart. And the fact that they were so unsuitable made them in a strange way safe. With someone suitable, there's so much more pressure on me to approve.
Mm. So when does he arrive, his Viennese slices and brandy snaps and coconut kisses?
4 o'clock.
So you'll know the worst in 24 hours.
23 hours, 37 minutes and 41 seconds.
It'll be all right, Sarah. There's no need for you to be nervous.
No, I won't be. Oh!
Oh, dear. Butterfingers.
Do any more of anything, David?
Thank you, Mrs. France.
Oh, as I said, please call me Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. Yes, well, if I might just have one more of these excellent coconut kisses.
Of course.
And you say you made these, Mrs. Prescott.
Oh, do call me Eleanor.
Thank you, Eleanor.
I did make them, yes.
They really are excellent. Quite excellent. Aren't you going to have another, Claire?
No, thanks, David. I'm not that hungry.
I wonder why you've lost your appetite, Claire, dear.
Mother, she only finished lunch 2 hours ago. So, David, you actually run the dental business from your home?
Yes, Sarah. The ground floor's all surgeries, waiting rooms and what have you. I live in the flat above. Quite adequate for a bachelor, you know.
Yes.
Of course, I might have to think of having the practice separate if my circumstances changed.
No, there wouldn't be room for a family in just the first floor of one
Mother.
Of the...
You must come round and see the place soon, Sarah.
Oh, thank you.
And you, Eleanor. I think they'd like it, don't you, Claire, darling?
Oh, yes.
Hmm. That was really delicious, Eleanor. Thank you. A feast fit for a king.
Oh, I'm delighted you enjoyed it. Nothing, really. Just a little humble family tea like I knock up every Sunday.
Actually, since the weather's so nice, Claire and I had thought of taking a little walk by the river. Perhaps you'd care to join us.
Oh, that's very kind of you. It might be rather pleasant to stretch my legs.
No, Mother, I think you'd rather stick to your original plans for the afternoon, wouldn't you?
Original plans, dear?
Yes, you know, just to put your feet up.
But I don't want to put my feet up.
While David and Claire go for a walk.
But I...
By themselves.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Yes, I think, actually, David, if you don't mind, I'd really rather promised myself this afternoon to put my feet up. Very sweet of you to ask, but...
Well, if you're sure... Sarah, would you join us?
Oh, no, thank you. I think, you know, the washing up.
Oh, can I give you a hand with that?
No, it'll be fine. There's not much. If you two just go off, go on while the weather holds.
Well, thank you. Are you set, darling?
Yes.
Sarah, this has been quite delightful. I knew, having met Claire, that I couldn't fail to like her mother, and I must say I wasn't disappointed.
Oh, thank you.
And Eleanor, such a pleasure to meet you too. And thank you so much for this splendid spread. I'm sure I won't want any supper tonight. Well, Claire, shall we be off then, darling?
Yes, fine.
Let me open the door for you, darling.
Thank you.
Again, many thanks to both of you. So glad we've met, and look forward to seeing lots more of you.
Oh, yes, that'll...
So do we, David, so do we.
Cheerio, then.
Bye.
Well, Claire certainly seems to have landed on her feet there.
Yes.
A dentist. I mean, Sarah, a dentist.
Mm.
Well, I mean, they make pots of money, oodles, with his own house, his own practice. I mean, it's perfect. And he's so polite, opening the door for Claire, offering to help you with the washing up. And he was so charming to me, almost flirtatious.
Yes. Of course, he is quite a bit older than she is.
He's exactly as much older than Claire as Henry was older than you, Sarah.
Yes.
And did you see the way they were looking at each other? Oh, my goodness me. If that isn't love, then my eyes need testing.
Maybe.
Yes, I think we'll hear the sound of wedding bells before the year is out.
Claire's still very young.
Exactly the same age as you were when you met Henry.
Yes.
This house will be ideal for them to be married from. We can have a marquee on the lawn. Of course, I'll have to get something new to wear.
I think you're rather jumping the gun.
What? No. What do you mean?
I mean, Claire's only known David a few weeks. We met him for an hour. Granted, he seems perfectly pleasant on first acquaintance. But I don't think we need to start building up fantasies of marriage until we all know him a little better. What I mean is...
I know exactly what you mean, Sarah. And I'm very disappointed in you.
Disappointed?
I know exactly why you're being such a wet blanket.
Wet blanket?
Yes, Sarah. You're being a wet blanket for one simple reason.
What's that?
Because you're jealous of Claire. Just simple, plain, old-fashioned jealous.
And I'm afraid part of the reason it upset me, Russell, is that I think it may be true.
That you are jealous?
Well, it would be a classic situation for it. Middle-aged mother of waning charms having to back off downstage while her blossoming daughter stands in the spotlight of young love. Difficult move to make gracefully.
Mm. But apart from being in a classic situation, do you actually feel jealous?
Hard to define exactly what I feel.
You'll try.
No, shut up. Yes, there's a sort of generalized jealousy. It's nice to be in love, and it's a long time since I have been in love, so I'm envious of people who are. Not of Claire specifically, but she does happen to be on the spot. No, my main feeling, I think, is one of waste.
Well, the Claire's throwing herself away on someone unsuitable.
Oh, that'd be much simpler to cope with. No, David is so suitable. He really does seem genuinely nice. Mm-hmm. Passes all mother's tests with flying colours, even to the extent of flirting with her. She thinks it's all wonderful. But then, of course, she's just desperate for a quick wedding before Claire gets swept off her feet by an embezzler.
Sorry?
Not important. Mm-hmm. It's just, I suppose, seeing history repeating itself. As Mother keeps pointing out, there are many parallels between Claire and David and me and Henry. Now, I loved Henry dearly. I was very happy with him. But I still regret that I met him quite as early as I did, that I didn't go around with more people, that I didn't see more of the world before I got married.
Everyone marries too young, whatever their age.
I wanted things to be different for Claire. I had hoped for her to go to university, but Henry died at a very inconvenient time for her academically. She totally messed up her A-levels. So here she is working for the Building Society in a small country town. If she gets married at 18 and starts breeding and settles here permanently, I feel her horizons will have been disastrously restricted. That's what I mean by waste. And I can't say any of these things to her.
Because they'll sound like jealousy.
Partly that. But also, I promised myself not to interfere. I must let her make her own decisions. I must not say anything.
Well, what do you actually think of David, the swain, the lover, the boyfriend, the potential fiancé?
Very difficult to say. I certainly don't dislike him. In a way, there's nothing to dislike about him. He's always polite and considerate and charming and conventional. I think that's probably the trouble. I don't feel that I've got through the layers of convention as the real David.
Well, maybe he is exactly as he seems.
Mm-hmm. I have a suspicious mind, though. I can't believe there's anyone around who hasn't got hidden depths. What is strange, though, and a bit disturbing, is the effect David has had on Claire.
Thought you said she was behaving frightfully well.
She is. That's what worries me. She's thoughtful, solicitous. She tells me where she's going. I'm just not used to it.
And what about when she's with lover boy? How does she behave then?
Mouse-like. Quiet, deferential, gazes at him dewy-eyed all the time, agrees with everything he says.
Oh, that's the power of love for you.
Maybe. But the trouble is that the person who gazes reverentially at David is just not Claire, not the Claire I know. It's Claire on her best behaviour. It's Claire in love, yes. But also it's Claire being impressed by an older man, Claire treading warily, Claire not wanting to put a foot wrong.
Why does that worry you? If she's behaving so well.
It worries me because I don't think she'd keep it up. Sooner or later she's going to relax and assert herself and show the real Claire.
Is the real Claire so terrible?
No, it's lovely. Lovely and capricious and infuriating and stubborn and frequently rude.
Mm.
But I'd just rather David had seen that Claire before he takes any long-term decisions about the one he has met.
You think long-term decisions are in the air? Mm-hmm.
A horrible feeling they might be. And very soon coming into land.
Sarah!
Mother!
I heard you coming up the path, so I came to the door.
I do have keys, Mother.
Yes, but I wanted to warn you.
Warn me?
He's here.
He?
David.
But he knows Claire plays badminton on Tuesday evenings.
It's not Claire he wants to see. It's you, Sarah.
Oh.
He's wearing a suit.
Ah.
I've sat him down with a cup of tea and a plate of coconut kisses. I am out filling the teapot.
I see.
I may be some time.
All right. I won't send the huskies out looking for you.
Don't be facetious, Sarah. I think David has something very important to say to you.
Yes.
Well, go on. In you go.
Yes. Oh, God. You know this is something Henry would have done a lot better than I will.
Henry's not here, Sarah. You have to do it on your own. Unless, of course, you'd rather I conducted the interview.
No, no, thank you, Mother. We aren't used to that.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Good evening, Sarah.
Hello, David. Oh, do sit down, please.
Thank you.
Pulled a few today, have you?
I beg your pardon?
Teeth. Teeth.
Oh, no. No extractions today. Plenty of fillings.
Ah. Ah.
The fact is, Sarah, I've come to see you on a rather important matter.
Oh. Yes?
As you may be aware, Claire and I have been seeing quite a lot of each other recently.
Yes, I did. Had. Sort of. Just noticed.
And the fact is that I am extremely serious.
Yes.
About her. Claire. Your daughter.
Yes, I know the one. Yes. I had got the impression that there was some kind of attraction.
Now, the fact is, Sarah, that I am now 28, well-established in my chosen profession.
Yes.
And I think it's very suitable time for me to get married.
Suitable. 28. Yes, well, that sounds very, very suitable, yes.
I own my own house. Well, that is to say, I'm 3 years into the repayment of a £30,000 endowment mortgage.
Yes, I'm not really that interested in the details.
My turnover for last year was in the region of...
I didn't get involved in figures.
You could check out the precise amount with my accountant, and he could show you the details of my private pension and health insurance schemes.
Yes.
The beneficiaries of my life insurance policies are currently my parents, but that would, of course, be changed on marriage, and my wife, in the event of my death, would be the recipient of a sum in excess...
Look, you don't have to convince me anymore. You are obviously about the most eligible bachelor ever created.
Thank you. I did just want to make my financial circumstances clear.
Yeah, I think you can feel confident that you have done that, yes.
Good. Well, my parents, incidentally, are both in their 70s and extremely fit. There is no history in our family of heart disease or insanity, nor has there been any criminal record.
It's fine. You can relax.
Thank you, Sarah. But I don't think I will quite relax until I have asked you formally for your consent to my marrying your daughter. Claire.
As I said before, I do know the one you mean.
Well, may I ask your verdict?
David, as Claire's mother, my only concern is her happiness. She's 18, both legally and emotionally old enough to make her own decisions. You seem to be in love, as you have made clear in considerable detail. You are obviously at a very suitable age for marriage. You want to marry Claire, and if Claire wants to marry you, then that's fine by me.
Thank you very much indeed, Sarah.
Welcome to the family. We're too many women. We could do with a little masculine leavening.
Oh. Yes.
Tell me, when did you actually propose to Claire?
When?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't mentioned marriage to her yet.
No?
No, I wanted to get it all sorted out with you first.
Ah.
That is the proper way to go about it, you know.
Oh, is it? Yes, I suppose it is. Well? Well, was he... Did he...
Yes, he came to see me about what you thought he came to see me about.
Oh, how wonderful. Yes.
Now, Sarah, I hope you didn't ruin things.
I behaved impeccably. It was like something out of a BBC Two classic serial.
So they're engaged?
Virtually. One small formality to be undergone.
What's that?
He hasn't actually asked Claire yet.
Oh, how very correct of him. He's charming, isn't he? Claire will be overjoyed. She'll leap at the offer, won't she?
Yes, Mother, I suppose she will.
Suppose? Sarah, you haven't been talking to Claire.
Mother, I promise I haven't said a word.
So how was the badminton, darling?
Fun. I even won, which makes a change.
Well done. Claire, you know, you mean a lot to me.
You mean a lot to me.
I've been really happy these last few weeks we've been going around together.
So have I, David.
And I think we ought to put our relationship on a more permanent basis.
Ah.
Listen, I've spoken to your mother about it, and she's quite happy.
What on earth is it to do with her?
We have her blessing to do it.
To do what, for heaven's sake?
To get married.
Get married? David, are you proposing to me?
Of course I am. Do you want me to go down on my knees?
No. No, that's not necessary. So you want to get married?
Yes, I do. Look, I'm the right sort of age. I've got my own house. I'm well established now in my chosen profession.
Yes, all right. I know all that.
Well, what do you say?
What I say, David, is this. I think I love you. Well, put it this way, I've never met anyone I love more. And I want to be with you as much of the time as possible.
That's what marriage is about.
Yes, but on the other hand, I am only 18. I don't feel very mature yet.
But with the guidance of someone who is mature...
I feel I want time to sort myself out as an individual before I tie myself irrevocably to one person.
Oh.
You see, well, that's what Mummy never did. She hadn't completely found out her own identity when she got married to Daddy, and so she became sort of part of him. That's why his dying hit her so hard. That's why she had such difficulty rebuilding herself afterwards.
But I'm not going to die. There's no history in my family of heart disease or
insanity. David, I don't want to get married just yet.
Well, not at the moment, okay. We could have a long engagement.
Long engagements are fatuous and pointless. Either you decide to get married or you don't.
Oh. But you said you loved me.
I do. And I want to be with you. But I need time.
So, what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that we should live together for a year or two. See how we get on. See if it really works.
Live together? But, Claire, I've got everything set up to get married. I mean, I own my own house. The practice is doing very
well. Living together, yes. Marriage, no.
Is that your last word on the subject?
Yes. I'm afraid so. Take it or leave it.
And he left it.
Afraid so.
Is Claire better cut up?
Yes, she is. She misses him. But I think at the same time she's quite proud of what she's done. She's asserted herself. She wasn't afraid to say what she really meant. And I think she realises now just how little independence he would have allowed her. David wanted a quiet, subservient little wife, and I don't think the part would have fitted Claire for long.
What do you reckon he'll do?
I reckon he'll be engaged to someone else within 3 months. His life plan involves marrying at 28. He's got everything set up, as I know, in great detail. The house, the business, the money. He's just left one Y-shaped space in the middle of the jigsaw. Claire didn't fit it, but I'm sure he'll soon find someone who does.
So how's Claire behaving now it's over?
She's being capricious and infuriating and stubborn and rude.
In fact, back to the daughter you know and love.
Yes. Her grandmother, on the other hand...
will never forgive either of you.
Right.
Mother keeps muttering that people don't get second chances at offers like that, and then hurries off to her kitchen to make reproachful coconut kisses.
In other words, back to the mother you know and love.
Yes.
And you're feeling better?
I suppose so. Is that rotten? Feeling good because Claire's Mr. Wright turned out to be wrong?
No, I don't think so. If you'd engineered the breakup of the relationship, that would be different. But, as it was...
Claire did it all herself, yes. Of her own initiative. Do you know, Russell, what makes me feel really good?
What?
The fact that I honestly didn't say a word.
In Mr. Wright, you heard Prunella Scales as Sarah, Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, Jerry Cowper as Claire, and Nigel Williams as David. After Henry was written by Simon Brett and produced by Pete Atkin.